Welcome to episode 231 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on May 21st, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In scheduling today's episode, we decided to talk about calendaring and combining calendars from multiple sources. From there, we dive into ABAC, a new preview capability in Azure Storage for using attributes to secure your data. We're continuing our conversation. We started before we went live, but nobody's here listening anyways. There's 600 a month for an office with four walls and a door.
Yeah. And by the time I'm 600 like that, like, it's too much. And I wouldn't mind like splitting it with somebody, but everybody, like, I'd have to find a Microsoft employee to split it with. And
right.
Even then, I would have to find a Microsoft employee who works in the same product group I do. Guess what's not going to happen? Because there actually is one in Jacksonville.
Is there really?
Yeah, but he is quite comfortable in his home office, which is all built out. So long story short, I should have just bought a house with an office.
I mean, now is the time to sell.
Yes,
although,
but now is not the time to buy.
Well, you could get an apartment for a year and hope it doesn't keep going this way.
My wife would kill me.
I don't know. Zillow, it's Zillow, right? So you never know how accurate it is because it uses a whole bunch of algorithms around you. But the price of our house in the last like 6 months, or the value of our house, is absolutely absurd.
Yep. Ours is the same way. So that's the thing. Like, when I rationalize, like, even doing, like, normally I'm pretty like averse to going out and taking money against the house or something like that.
Yep.
But I really think I could go pull the HELOC for like a decent amount to finish a lot of this with like without a huge out of pocket cost that I would actually like make back at the end of the day, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
I have the paperwork. I just need to sign it and get a deposit in and maybe make one change to the contract to build out our porch. So I got the price for that and all of that. And I'm looking at like the price per square foot of our house. And it's like, okay, that's price per square foot that our house would sell for. If we add this on, it would, one, make our kitchen dining room really nice, but it adds like 160 square feet. And I'm like, price per square foot.
Yep. Times 160.
Amount we're going to spend, we'd pretty much break even day one.
Yeah, I should call that guy too and have him come out.
Yeah, so he is like everybody right now. He's slammed, so it's slow. That would be the advantage, is like if you have him come out, you might have to bug him a little bit and keep on him to get you stuff, but it's not going to be, he's not going to be ready to do it like 2 weeks. So you have some time to work on anything you need to do in order to have everybody on board with it.
Yeah.
But,
well, my dogs are snoring in the background, so.
Your dogs are snoring.
That means it's time to get going.
I have an interesting day today. So there's a homeschool group that rented out part of a water park up in Georgia, and it's like 100 people in this water park. So we're going to go. So my wife asked me, she's like, can you take the day off? Yep, absolutely. I can go with you. I literally got an email the same day from somebody wanting me to do a paid webinar that said, can you do this paid webinar? Like, I don't go look through all my emails and text messages to see if I have a conflict. I look at my calendar. Because they happened on the same day, I agreed to do both on the same day. And naturally, they overlap. So we're going to record this podcast. We're going to go drive to Georgia. I'm going to go find a Starbucks so I can sit outside and do this paid webinar or test my hotspot speed sitting in the van.
Yep.
In the parking lot of the water park. So I can do this webinar and then go spend an hour or so.
Gotcha.
With the family. Because they rented it out for just like, it's like 2 or 3 hours from like 1 to 3 today or 12 to 2, something like that. But yes, this is by far my biggest scheduling conflict. And literally because they both asked on the same day. So I didn't have either one on my calendar yet when I agreed to both of them. And I didn't realize it. Naturally, it's not like I realized it a month ago when everybody asked. I realized it like Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yesterday.
A week ago when, yeah, my daughter said something. She's like, I'm May 21. I'm like, May 21. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. There's your like TikTok, right? Like you get the oh no song playing in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. But we do not need to talk about my scheduling faux pas.
No.
So I learned my lesson. As soon as I say yes to something, put it on the calendar, like within seconds.
Yep, that is the way to do it. So I have one with calendaring, potential like calendaring tip for folks. I find that I need my calendar on the device that is closest to me as well to be successful. Mm-hmm. Like, I absolutely must have my calendar on my phone. I must have it on my iPad. I must have it on my laptop. And I likely need it on like another random tablet that I have laying around the house just so I can check. So one of the things that I did last week, like late last week, early this week, is I've been removing a lot of my devices from MDM and kind of turning personal devices back into personal devices for like a whole host of reasons. You know, like one of the big ones being potentially like work-life balance. Like, you know, yep. I do not need to get pinged by Teams at night and answer it. And then you say, well, Scott, don't answer it at night. And I say, well, yeah, sure. That sounds fine for normal people, right? But like, I have compulsions that are strange. The biggest thing that I missed immediately doing this, like I too went, oh no, is I lost my calendar. And it wasn't so much that I lost my calendar. I kept like my iPad enrolled just so I could have my calendar on a mobile device. But it turns out the one place I really wanted my calendar, like that I have come to depend on and can't get away from, is having my calendar on my watch and being able to look down and say, what's the next place that I need to be? And what's the modality that I need to be in for there, right? So like, is my next meeting coming up a meeting that I know I have to be on video for? So let's get back. Let's make sure like I'm settled in the chair a couple minutes ahead of time. The door is closed. You know, the do not disturb light is on, all those kinds of things. Is it a quick phone call? Is it something that I can take like while I'm on a walk? Like, do I need to be in front of a screen? Like, what type of screen do I need to be in front of? So I've really started to like rely on that being at home. And I was super missing my calendar because one of the things with my environment and MDM is I can't sign into Outlook unless I am on a enrolled device. So I have to have a registered device. Now, I can sign into Outlook over the web if I'm willing to sign in like every 2 minutes. But then I'm stuck in the, like on my mobile device, like on my iPhone, I'm stuck in the PWA app from the PWA. Even like getting into my calendar can be like a little bit rough to look at. Like I want to see it like in a calendar app. So one of the things that I remembered is, and I had forgotten about this over time, and some people are going to go like, oh, well, duh, Scott, it's always done this. Yes, I know, but I forgot. You can take your calendar and you can share it out. And you can share it out in multiple modes where you can say like, hey, I want to share an ICS and HTML version of my calendar. And I want to, whoever I share this URL with, I want them to be able to see all the details, some of the details, just availability, things like that.
Right.
Now there's some downsides here because you can only share in one permission mode at a time. Like I can't share one link that says, hey, you can only see availability and share another link that says, but you can see everything. So I sacrificed what was my view my availability in just my email signature and took that down and said, you know what? That's going away. People don't need to see my availability. I need to see my calendar and just subscribe to that ICS, all my devices. And it turns out now I can see my calendar on all my devices without any MDM. So I've solved my calendar problem.
Nice. So that, going back to that shared ICS, when you share that, it shows up on your watch too. So you can see all the shared calendars and those enrolled calendars.
Yep.
Because that's something, again, being just me, I don't always play with shared calendars a whole lot because nobody has a calendar to share with me.
So you're not sharing your calendar with a specific person. I guess I should clarify. It's not called sharing. It's called publishing your calendar, just at least in the context of Outlook and what it's doing. Gmail has like a very certain thing, a similar thing, right? Where you can say like, hey, I want to take this calendar and effectively publish it as an ICS and then let people subscribe to that for updates. So now I've got my individual work calendar, just that ICS. I've gone ahead and set it up as just a subscription on all my devices. And then I was like, huh, well, like, can I actually get like that magical unified view of my personal and work calendar as well? So I use Gmail for my personal calendar. So I actually went over there and subscribed to the ICS there too. So now I can see all that stuff in Google Calendar. So now it's like kind of back to normal. I'm still going through like a lot of FOMO, not having email and Teams and things like that on my phone. But it turns out it is like way better for work-life balance. Like way better.
Very nice. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. We should just talk about calendaring today.
We can talk about calendaring today.
So my calendar, I have a little bit of that, but I have also have the problem of doing consulting that there's a few companies I also subcontract for. So I have my work calendar in Office 365. For a while, I actually had one of my clients' calendars that they would send meeting invites to. I had a couple of subcontractor or clients, different companies that I do some subcontract work for that I was using their email address. So they would send meeting invites to those calendars.
Yep.
And then I had our personal calendar with my wife and I that were all Apple. So it was an iCloud. So I had five different calendars that I had to keep track of. And I kept running into, I got a meeting invite to one calendar. I just looked for the conflict and I was like, yeah, no conflict, accept it. And then I'm like, oh, I forgot to check my other four calendars for conflicts. So for the last probably 6 or 8 months, and I think this is Mac only, I am actually, some people may think I'm crazy, I am paying for Fantastical on all my Apple devices. So I can go in, I can actually add all of my accounts. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, I think I have 5 or 6 different accounts now that I have added to Fantastical. And they are my iCloud calendar, a couple, 3 Office 365 calendars, and actually an Exchange on-prem calendar. Because I even ran into the fact that Exchange on-prem, and I was still using this with one client, doesn't work in the new Outlook client on Mac. You have to go back to like the old view. Mm-hmm. So it's actually been really nice and they've done a good job at it. So one, just having all my calendars there. So I rarely check my Outlook calendar. Now I just kind of have Fantastical up all the time. And that's where I go, look, whenever I get a meeting invite, it's like, I got to go check it. And they've done a bunch of integrations there. So I can actually send out Teams meeting invites from Fantastical. So even if I want to use it for scheduling meetings, it recognizes those Office 365 accounts that have Teams. So I can include Teams meetings there. When we do our podcast recording, we use Zoom. So it has Zoom there. And it, you know how Outlook does the whole little meeting pop-up, there's a join button, click the link to join. Mm-hmm. Fantastical has all of that built in, so I can quickly just click join and all the meeting invites that pop up.
So I didn't realize they'd done that. Like I haven't paid for Fantastical in a while and I didn't switch when they moved over to the new subscription model. So this is kind of cool. So Fantastical has automatic conference call link detection for Zoom, WebEx, Teams, Skype for Business, Google Meet, Google Hangouts, GoToMeeting, RingCentral, BlueJeans, Whereby, Chime, LifeSize, Vuv, Big Blue Button, Hi-Fi, Video, Circuit, Starleaf, LifeSize, Blackboard, Link, Around, Hopin, Vonage, Doxy, Jitsi, Theranest, Simple Practice, and Uber Conference. I've heard of like 6, 7 of those. I don't even know what some of those are.
Like I've been granted, I think it's, and it's not terrible. I think I'm paying like $40 a year for it. But I'm like, you know what? For $40 to keep my calendars organized and help keep my life straight, well, it didn't help for this latest meeting conflict. It wasn't for lack of not having stuff in the same spot. It was, I just didn't add it to the appropriate calendar. But for me, this has been, I'm like, $40 a year, done. It's been a huge benefit. And the nice thing is you kind of add them all to your account, but you don't necessarily have to have all your calendars even enabled on every device.
Yep.
So I can kind of pick and choose on my iPad. Maybe I only want one or two of the calendars syncing. On my computer, I want them all. On my phone, I want them all, so they all get on my watch. But I have not thought twice about paying the $40 a month for this and getting all of those different calendar accounts in one place. And again, you can add. So they have iCloud, Google, Exchange, Outlook, Flex, Todoist, Zoom, Meetup, Yahoo, Office 365, or other CalDAV accounts. So you can go sign into all of those different accounts. I think you end up with an account there and it kind of like syncs that you have these calendars between your different devices. And then you got to go in and kind of turn on and off which ones you want.
Yes. You're effectively syncing through... You're not syncing your calendar through their cloud service, but you're syncing, I think, your configuration your that way. Yeah. But that way, you like you said, you don't have to, like when you grab a new device, you just sign into your FlexiBits account, I guess, right? Would it be your FlexiBits account?
Because yep, it's technically, yeah.
Yep. So you sign into your FlexiBits account and then you can, yeah, have access to all that kind of stuff.
It doesn't help in your case where you have the MDM stuff because I'm assuming you would never be able to sign into your work calendar in Fantastical because of conditional access and MDM restrictions.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if I could. but I think in my case, like the goal was really to just have my calendar on my wrist and I needed to find a way to do that, but not have all the other things that come with having an enrolled device, including the MDM itself, but also like having access to Teams and Outlook and Yammer and OneDrive and SharePoint and all that really quick. Like I absolutely needed to get rid of that stuff as well.
Yep, that makes sense. So yes, that is my calendaring scenario. So any news? I was trying to think if there's any news around calendars. I don't think we have any cloud news around calendars.
No, other than maybe like Azure gives you some time back. there was a portal outage yesterday for a couple hours. I think it was especially extended for our European friends.
Got it. I completely missed it. So I did not see or catch that there was an outage yesterday.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Interesting. Wow, we came really well prepared today. So we can go through other news. How about other news?
I came prepared, but then we derailed.
You came prepared. We got derailed on calendars and I have not been prepared. I am still trying not to drown in work. Trying to figure out how to ramp up. I have a couple contracts. Oh my, that was really delayed. So I just got some text message notifications for, is there anything going on with MDM this morning? Or not MDM, MFA. I just now got text messages for an account I tried to sign into 45 minutes ago. And I was like, it's not sending text messages. And I've been getting other text messages in the meantime, but all my MFA ones just came through at once.
Nice. Delayed delivery. It always works well like that.
Yeah, they've probably since expired. No, I have been completely slammed with work lately and just, yes, trying to keep up. But there has been some new stuff. There's been, we were talking a little bit before this, there's probably been a little bit of a lull in the news. First of all, because Build is coming up. It'll be done by the time this episode is released, won't it? Is it next week? Beginning of next week?
Yes. It's another online event, kind of the same thing you saw with Ignite, kind of the 24/7 worldwide rolling delivery model. But yeah, there should be some good stuff coming out of Build.
Yes, this will come out the last day of Build. So Build, May 25 through May 27. This episode should get released on May 27. So if you're listening to this, you made it through all the calendars, go check out what was released at Build. We'll probably cover some of that next week. But the week before Build is usually, or Ignite, or frankly any Microsoft conference, is usually a little bit slow because they tend to hold back a bunch of news. So they actually have something big and fancy and all that stuff to talk about at Build. So even IT pro stuff, like Build's technically a developer conference, but there's usually always something that applies to just about everybody that gets talked about or announced or released or put on the roadmap at Build. So it'll be interesting to watch next week, but that means this week we're kind of looking through and saying, what should we talk about from a news perspective? I've been doing a bunch of training on Azure certifications, 104, 303, 304, which I passed. I don't know if I told you that, Scott. I finally passed my 303. I finally sat down and took it.
You know what I don't miss? taking tests.
Taking exams. So 304 is on my list. But I haven't had a whole lot of exciting stuff to talk about just because I'm just teaching that. And frankly, those are just hard to talk about on a podcast. But there were a couple news things that came out. One you brought up. This one was nifty. Do you want to talk about your Azure Storage one?
Which one?
That is now available for preview. Your ABAC. You told me ABAC and I was like, what's ABAC? I know RBAC, but I don't know ABAC or ABAC.
Yes.
So Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud.
Let's talk a little bit about ABAC. So if you think about RBAC, role-based access control and kind of built-in IAM or identity and access management in Azure today, you have this ability to go in and define actions that are allowed or not allowed on both the management plane of Azure, so like management.azure.com, or effectively like ARM, like, hey, I'm going into the portal and I'm doing something, and also data plane actions. So you have these things called data actions and data not actions. And then those extend down through a bunch of existing roles. So in storage, you know, we have storage owners, we have storage contributors, we have storage readers. There's all these built-in roles that allow you to do various things in storage. So you might have like data plane actions that say storage owners can come in and create new containers. You know, they can upload, download, delete. They can also configure something like the storage account on like the management plane side, but then they can do all that data stuff as well. One of the things that happens, you know, it's not unique to storage, but I think it's pretty prevalent in storage, is that from a service perspective, either your applications or your end users can be interacting with a lot of the data in a storage account, making data actions pretty important. So think about maybe like not so much like a custom application that talks through like a service principal and it controls all its storage in the back end. But what if I had a data lake and that data lake is mounted to multiple clusters by either individual users or like through their own user identities, or through service principles or things like that, you need to like really start to think about security for those underlying objects. Like, do I lock down a folder? Do I lock down an individual file or object? Like, what does that look like and how do I do that? So you've been able to do that with data actions and RBAC, and that's being extended into ABAC as well, which is attribute-based access control. So it's an extension of data actions. So you'll still have traditional RBAC roles, but you'll be able to build these new attribute-based data actions into your custom roles along the way. And the way this works is it's using attributes from the objects, so from the blobs themselves, stored within your storage account. So whether these are ADLS Gen 2 or straight blob, like you're going to have this set of data actions, or you're going to have this set of attributes that you can target. So attributes are going to be things like a container name. It could be a blob path. So that could be the path to a blob, like a virtual directory, or if it's an ADLS account, it could actually be a folder or a file itself. itself. You can also use blob index tags. So look for certain tag keys. And then you can also do things like look for certain tag values. So this becomes really powerful because now let's say I go into my storage account and I've got a single container. And within that container, I have a cluster of folders. So let's say I have 50 folders and each one of those folders represents a different project in my company, right? So I've got super secret project one, super secret project two, super secret project three. And Ben, you work on super secret project one. So you should only ever see the contents of super secret project one. And I work on super secret project two, and I should only ever see the contents of super secret project two. So what we can do is we can go into those folders and we can tag all the blobs that live within them. So we could have a tag that's project, like that's my key name. And then I could have a value that is super secret project one, super secret project two, super secret project three, whatever it is. And then I can go back to an RBAC role and I can say, hey, I'm going to create a custom role for Ben, or let's call it super secret project one contributors. And yep, anybody who needs access to super secret project one, I'm going to do the traditional RBAC things. Like I'm going to figure out what management plane operations, if any, they need. I'm going to figure out what kind of just generic data actions, if any, they need against an account. But I'm also going to extend it, my data actions rule, with attributes. And I'm going to say that I want the key where project equals value super secret project one to also be assigned to this role. And then I'll go ahead and do that for super secret project two, project three, project four, like whatever it happens to be. I might have like a project admin role where they can automatically see everything in there. And now you can build out this kind of this super rich system on top of it, which is leveraging native Azure RBAC. So it's not reliant on, say, like POSIX-like permissions that might come from an ADLS Gen 2 account with hierarchical namespace. That's not a requirement for you here because it also just works with straight blobs. Like it could be flat namespace, it could be just a regular blob account, could be an HNS account, whatever that happens to be. There's all sorts of kind of cool things there. And then in that example, like I was using maybe like data actions for reads and writes, you can extend those. So there's data actions for deletes. There's things like maybe you want like a blob read event, and blob reads have a sub condition or a sub operation that allows you to read the tags. Maybe you want somebody to come in and be able to see the file, but not see the tags that are associated with it, right? Like maybe even the tags themselves are super secret kinds of things. So you can get super granular in what you need to do and really kind of operationalize now around just raw storage without potentially anything other than native identity and access management that's built into Azure. So I feel like I was a little ranty there, but it's super, there's a lot of knobs and levers for you to go pull to make all this work. But you can be, like I said, like it's super powerful because you can be so granular in the way that you approach it.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
So as you were talking through it, I was thinking of even like all the use cases started turning. Like you were talking about super secret projects, where I'm envisioning within this, you could also set it up where, let's say I work on the electronics for all the super secret projects. You could give me access using RBAC to all the super secret projects, but then limit my access to just something tagged with electronics within each of those projects.
Yep.
So
you got it.
That's nifty. I'm even thinking like websites, because you can do static sites now in blob storage too, right?
Yes.
Yes. Or even files you're publishing to your website, where now you tag them as, I'm assuming you can do things like tag them as draft and published, so that in order to maybe publish a certain file or publish an update to something, now all you do is you just change the tag on it. This was tagged as draft, now it's tagged as public. All of a sudden the roles change and now it's live on my website. Maybe
you could do things like that, but I think in some cases you need that level of like automation or application in front of it, right? Say you had like an application that was reaching in, and like you're using storage in that case as like that origin storage for those files, and that application reaches in, and from its service principal, like maybe it's an Azure web app that's reading those files out of storage. So it comes in with its MSI, and you've given that MSI only access to read files where the tag published equals true, or whatever it happens to be, to get it there. So yeah, it's super flexible. It's out in storage in preview today. And like I said, you can use it with built-in or custom role assignments. So you can use it with the built-in roles. So like I said earlier, the storage blob data owner, storage blob data contributor, storage blob data reader, all those kinds of things. And then you build out around effectively those four attribute types: container name, blob path, blob index tag keys, or blob index tags themselves.
Got it. Yeah. And reading through it, it just talks about like setting all those different conditions. And it almost like the thing that keep going over in my head coming from the Microsoft 365 Azure AD is like, this is conditional access for files in blob storage. You go set up conditions and you get access based on said conditions in a way.
Yeah. Yep.
With those conditions being those attributes again that you mentioned. So this is cool. Like,
So I think like the conditional thing, yes, absolutely. But really the thing to keep in the back of your head is this is not like some radically new IAM system. This is an extension of existing data actions that already exist within RBAC today. So it's not like you have to go learn some new tool or anything like that. Like if you already have custom roles today, you can actually take those custom roles and just extend them with these data actions now. Like that's super duper powerful, powerful kind of stuff. Now, so another thing to think about, like in some cases, because this is using native RBAC, that means you can use things like conditions in role assignments that are made through maybe something like privileged identity management. So you can elevate into roles that now give you temporary access to data and then revoke that access once your role assignment is revoked within PIM. So now you get conditional.
I just blanked on my word. I was going to say the possibilities are endless.
Right. So combine something like PIM, now you have conditional access, like based on these super fine grained condition with a time bound setting, right? I'm time boxed in my elevation. You get the like potential approval workflow that comes with that, all the audit trail, all those kinds of things. Yeah, super duper cool stuff.
I'm going to have to keep an eye on this and see where this keeps going and what all they do with this.
Yeah. The thing that I really like about it is that it works for both blobs and hierarchical namespace. So I'm not like in this position where I have to go down a path and say like, oh, you know, I need to create a new storage account that's hierarchical namespace enabled, and I still need to go configure, you know, a bunch of ACLs or like the POSIX like kind of ACLs that exist in that space. I can just do this with blobs today, which opens up like this whole world of possibilities around, frankly, like applications that sit in front of storage and are already coming through with things like MSIs or service principles, things like that.
Right.
And then on the data lake side, like users, service principles, all the things, it becomes pretty cool pretty quick.
Right. Because then even in certain cases, you're not worried, or you can get away from some of that headache of like permission inheritance and trickling down, because now once you set up your RBAC, all you're doing is changing tags. So you can have like access in theory across folders or namespaces or like block access, even though in a typical scenario, you wouldn't be able to do it because of permission inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting. Very cool. Time to go play with Azure Blob Storage.
it's a thing that's out there. So I think like again, this is built into standard RBAC. So there's no kind of like ultimately like real special sauce that you need to go learn at the end of the day. Now there are a couple of, I'll call out like the whole like preview isn't production kind of thing going on here.
Don't do it because it's in preview or don't do it in production workloads.
Right. So this set of data actions and kind of the resource extensions and operations that come from ABAC, that's in preview, as is blob index tags still, I believe.
Okay.
You're kind of relying on like, if you're going to go down the tagging route, then potentially like you are in preview land. But this one likely sticks. It's not going to go away.
Yes. Yeah, they have their big important, and we'll link to the documentation around this where ABAC and Azure role assignment conditions are currently in preview. This is not supported without a service level agreement, not recommended for production workloads. Certain features might not be supported because they did see there's a couple scenarios too they outline in some of the documentation where in this particular scenario, it doesn't work yet or it's not supported yet. So yes, I would agree with you that I cannot see this not sticking because of all the possibilities, but functionality, SLAs can be hit or miss here and there as it goes through that preview testing process. So, all right. Nifty.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Scott. I completely missed that announcement.
You know, there's announcements for things all the time.
like the UI for storage in Azure. I logged in last week and I logged in this week and I couldn't find anything.
You know, the only constant is change.
You've probably seen that change for a while, but a couple of my tenants, it just hit the other day. And I was teaching AZ-104 and we start going through some of the labs for associated with this class I was teaching. And all the students are like, where's this? Or I don't see this. Or where's this header? And it says to do this, but I can't find it. And we're like, we need to go get this lab updated for all of the UI changes related to Azure storage accounts. Because if you haven't seen it, go look at it, keep an eye out for it.
You're talking about things like even like the overview blade for a storage account where now you've got like all the properties up front, like it's been made a little easier.
Yeah, like one of them changed from files to data operations or data properties, like the header changed above a certain subsection in the blade. But then even in the main panel and storage. So you used to have like the four big, I'm making hand shapes in my camera that nobody else can see, but you used to have like the four big tiles for containers, for files, for all of that. And now it's just all little like headers with a bunch of properties underneath it instead of your big tiles that you used to see right on the storage page. And there was a bunch of renaming and reorganizing within kind of that storage overview in your storage blade in Azure.
Well, it sounds like you were able to find this stuff, but maybe you and I should...
I was able to find it.
Maybe you and I should sync offline. Like, I'd love to get the feedback on that change and what we got right and what we got wrong there.
We'll have to do that. No, I don't know that you got everything. So going through it, I don't know that there was anything wrong. It was just, there was a lot that changed and I had no idea it was coming. And all of a sudden it was just like, okay, I got to reshift my mindset and to go finding where I get to all this stuff now.
Yeah.
But I'll play with it. We can sync. We can talk more about that.
Sounds good.
But for now, we'll wrap up the show. Nobody joined us live, Scott. I'm kind of sad.
We'll get them there.
How do people join us live if people would like to join us live so we're not so lonely next week? It is early, though. We're recording earlier than normal.
It is early today, but it should be fine for our European friends this time of day. So yeah, how to find us. We record weekly. Like, you get to listen to this episode every week, or these release on a weekly cadence. We most of the time record on Fridays. We try and record Friday afternoons, US Eastern time. Sometimes we record in the morning or, you know, mid-afternoon, depending on schedules and what's going on. Like, Ben's got to go to a water park or Scott's got a meeting, things like that. And we broadcast all those recordings live over to Discord. So we have a Discord server set up. You can come listen in live with us. You can chat with us. You can make suggestions. You can tell us what we got right, what we got wrong. And, you know, in general, have a good time. So to come and join us in Discord, the way to get that invite link is just go sign up for the newsletter. You will get, once you sign up for the newsletter, your very first one that you receive, those come out weekly as well. They're kind of a synopsis of all the show notes and they let you know a new episode is out. Yeah. So just go sign up for the newsletter. Like, hopefully you like the newsletter and you stay signed up for it. But honestly, like, you could sign up for it and get your first one, and then you could unsubscribe just to get the Discord invite link. And then come and join us. And even if you can't join us for the live show, come and chat with us and interact with us. We'd love to hear more about what all of you want to hear more about as well.
Yeah, we're getting up there. There's, what, 25 people in there now. So every once in a while, we have a few conversations throughout the week as well. So it's not just listen to us live, but ask your questions, chat with others.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Scott. Go enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. And we will talk to you back in Discord next week.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.